Golden Gate Bridge. I glanced at my Timex. Among the three of us, I was the only one responsible enough to keep and wear a wristwatch. Vonetta let a girl see hers and never got it back. Fern was still learning to tell time, so I kept hers in my drawer until she was ready to wear it. 6.5 hours had passed since we'd hugged Big Ma and kissed Pa at John F. Kennedy Airport. The clouds had made peace with our Boeing 727. It was safe to breathe. I stretched as far as my legs could go. With these long legs, I'm taken for 12 or 13, even a little older. No one ever guesses 11 going on 12 on their first try. More than my long legs, I'm sure it's my plain face that throws them off. Not plain as in homely plain, but even plain. Steady. I'm not 9 or 7 and given to squealing or oohing like Vonetta and Fern. I just let my plain face and plain words speak for me. That way, no one ever says, huh, to me. They know exactly what I mean. We were long gone from thick white clouds, the plane steadily climbing down. The intercom crackled and the pilot made an announcement about the descent and altitude and that we would be landing in 10 minutes. I let all that pass by until he said, "And to your left, as we circle the bay, is the Golden Gate Bridge." I was now a liar, a stone-faced liar. I wanted to squeal and ooh like a 7-year-old meeting Tinkerbell. I had read about the Golden Gate Bridge in class, the California Gold Rush, the Chinese immigrants building the railroads connecting east to west. It wasn't every day you saw a live picture of what you read about in your textbook. I wanted to look down from above the world and see the Golden Gate Bridge. Being stuck in the middle seat, I was mad at myself. Of the three of us, I was the first to board the 727. Why hadn't I taken the window seat when I had my chance? Instead of the squeal I knew wouldn't come out of me in the first place, I sighed. No use crying about it now. The truth was, one pout from